It is a Friday. It's great to talk to Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. Happy New Year, everybody, and happy to my buddy, Ben Fredrickson. Ben, what's going on? Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Happy 2021, Dan. Thanks, man. I'm doing well and glad to be in 2021 and hopefully, you know, we're not off to a great start for the whole normalcy thing, but hopefully we get there here soon. But glad to be done with 2020. Glad to be back. Glad to be back with you on this edition, man. It's been fun. I'm glad you're keeping me around for another year.
Who says I'm keeping you around for another year?
Good point. That was trying to get you to say it. I'm swinging a miss.
Hey, I'm keeping you around for another year. By the way, I should tell everybody, starting this Sunday on Fox Channel 2, Scoops is going to be moving to a TV show as well. So Fox Channel 2 has been kind enough to, we were in negotiations to do a show. It started a long time ago, and it's now finally come to fruition. We had the pandemic, you know, that kind of hit, and then we had a crazy summer and a crazy fall. Things got pushed back, but it's all being worked out now. So starting on Sunday night, 10:30, Fox Channel 2, following the news, our first Scoops with Danny Mac show. My guests will be Bernie Federko, Chris Pronger, Bernie Miklas, as we all know, is writing for the website. So that'll be the show, and we'll focus all Blues this Sunday at 10:30. So really excited about that, and hopefully everybody can tune in. That's a gratuitous plug. But we always have Ben Fred Fridays, and Ben has been with us essentially from day number one. And yes, you will be with us all year long. You can take that to the bank, literally.
Okay. All right. Now I'm angling for an appearance on the TV show. You know, back in my Mizzou days, I got into the journalism school thinking I would do broadcast. And then I realized, Dan, I wasn't very good at it. And I have a nose that gets, I have a big nose to begin with. It actually gets bigger when it's on TV. It's this crazy thing. They say the camera adds 10 pounds. It's actually like doubles the size of my nose, which is already large to begin with, and additionally adds 10 pounds. So it's a lot. Well, so I end up having to go back to the newspaper route, but I'll make an appearance just for you.
Well, you are going to make an appearance in week number two. And you went to the newspaper route because you realized that was where the money was. And it was
exactly. Booming business.
It was a smart move on your part. It really was. I'm hoping, and man, I'm hoping that this is the beginning of a hot stove season. I was saying this the other day to a friend of ours. I can't remember who that friend was. It's a very limited amount of friends that I have. You have a number of friends. But I was saying, you know, maybe the Padres are the ones that get it going. With all the movement that they had in the trades that they made with Snell and Darvish, and maybe that just gets it going. And then earlier this week, we were hearing rumblings that, hey, the spring training is going to get out in front of this. They're going to get things going on time. And I thought, okay, that's a sign of good things. And then yesterday, boom, the Mets make the big deal with Carrasco and Lindor. I was just hoping, and it is my hope, that maybe this gets the ball rolling. How about the Mets? Usually it's the Yankees are the ones that go out and make this kind of deal. Or the Cardinals in the early 2000s were a team that made this kind of deal. It's a Lindor type deal that they used to make, and it's the Mets that made it yesterday. What are your thoughts on Lindor going to the Mets?
I think it's a great time to be a Mets fan. Look, the Mets were excited, the Mets fans, about Steve Cohen coming in and talking about, you know, being willing to upgrade the talent on this team, and what else could he do to signify that more than this deal? He gets an all-star shortstop in Lindor, who is truly one of the best players in the game. On top of that, Danny's just fun. He's one of the most exciting players of the game, known for throughout the league for being an exceptional teammate. A guy who makes everybody around him better. And, you know, it includes a lot of other moves. Carlos Carrasco comes with them. They give up four young players, but none who are, you know, I think Mets fans are losing sleep about losing right now. And the downside of it is, hey, you've only guaranteed to get this guy for a year. But I think the Mets are going to make a healthy attempt to get this guy extended before he passes up free agency. And if you're Lindor and you like playing in New York for an owner that wants to make things happen and win a World Series, then you might like to jump on that deal as opposed to going through a free agency that could look pretty weird after this season with a collective bargaining agreement crisis looming up ahead. So this could work out great for the Mets. And yeah, you're right. That's the first thing I thought of when that deal happened, is that is the kind of deal that the Cardinals used to make. And it's the kind of deal that the Cardinals kind of made when they got Paul Goldschmidt. It's the kind of deal they really need to try to make again. Lindor would have been perfect for the Cardinals. He could have started at shortstop. You could move Paul DeJong to third base and kind of solve the current Matt Carpenter crisis. What the Cardinals are unwilling to do right now because of the uncertainty about the 2021 season and probably what's beyond that is take on that kind of payroll bump. Lindor is going to make not a ton of money, but he's going to make a lot in 2021. It's his final year of arbitration. He's going to make, you know, 20 plus million bucks in Carrasco as well. And they gave up a lot of control, but if they get to sign Lindor to an extension, then it probably looks like a pretty good deal, but it is not a kind of deal you make if you're trying to cut payroll or keep it low, which the Cardinals by all accounts seem interested in doing. There really seems to me to be like two kinds of teams right now. There are teams that are clearly taking steps back to save money. And there are teams that are saying, hey, we see kind of a chance to buy low and to maybe not have much competition, and we're going for it. The Dodgers clearly going for it. The Padres big time going for it with the moves that they've made. And now the Mets are in that direction too. You know, even the White Sox are in that camp. The other teams all across the National League Central are getting rid of players or getting rid of payroll. I don't know that the Cardinals have said definitively that they're going to be in that group, but right now that's what they've done. They let Colton Wong walk. We'll see if he's back, but that's the only move they've made to this date. Now they have time to decide. You don't get any points for doing anything, you know, in January when spring training hasn't started yet, but the Cardinals really are at best on the fence. There are some other teams giving their fans something to get excited about, but no one in the National League Central right now is very excited, and I get the angst. I think it's fair.
I don't know about you. When I heard the trade, I thought, okay, this is good. We're finally going to see some movement with this, and if you're a Mets fan, man, this is great. And if you're an Indians fan, gosh, this is not good. And it's not good for baseball when you have an exciting player, a glib player, a fun player, and by all accounts, a great person. That's all we've heard about, too, is he's a very good guy. That part of it I don't like. It shouldn't be happening where a franchise player like that is traded. I don't like to see that in the sport, and I don't know where you stand on that, but I don't like to see those types of players leave those types of markets. That part of it is not good for the game.
Well, it's becoming a trend. I mean, it's Mookie Betts. It's
Mookie Betts left Boston. Boston should not – that shouldn't happen in Boston. This is right. Cleveland.
In Cleveland, it's a little more understandable, I guess, but – that was the one that really, if the Red Sox will do it, you know, any team will.
Yeah.
Goldschmidt, a little different. You know, he's older. They were looking to kind of rebuild. And he wasn't, quote, in his prime. But, man, Mookie Betts, you know, Lindor, these guys are absolutely in their prime. And what you're seeing teams do is saying we'd rather restock and get rid of the cost than treat our fans to a player they love for – another season. And that's baseball right now, man. I mean, it's why the Rays are dealing Blake Snell after they were so close to winning a World Series. It is this trend. Now, I would argue that there's a chance for teams that want to do the opposite to really good, great players and make runs at previously, you know, never thought they would get deals. I mean, the Padres, look at what the Padres have done. I mean, what is it, Dan? Are the Mets and the Padres and the White Sox the only teams that haven't been told that next year is not going to happen? Are they the only teams that haven't been let in the fact that this is a lame duck season and they're crazy for trying to get better? Or is it that these other teams are preaching doom and gloom and an inability to make any moves and they really just don't want to spend? You can see why fans are frustrated, because there's a handful of teams that are saying, hey, we're going to try to win in 2021, and we're going to hope and expect that there's going to be a World Series to be played and it will matter to win it. I don't think the Dodgers are disappointed in the COVID altered World Series championship trophy they earned. But these other teams are almost acting as if there's, you know, there's this big black cloud hanging and it's preventing all of these moves. So it is frustrating. And you know, it kind of seems like it just kind of seems like there are only a handful of teams right now that are willing to go out and try to win a division. And unfortunately, none of them are currently occupying the Central.
Yeah, you led me into the next point. Who wants to win the Central? I if you're a Cardinal fan right now, by the way, I think you feel okay, even minus Yachty and minus Waino, currently constructed. No one is doing anything in the Central Division. And the Cardinals, I love their pitching. Let's say Michaelis is healthy. Carlos comes back off a winter ball pitch as well. You got Hicks coming back, even minus Hudson. I like their pitching, and pitching wins. And in return of a COVID season off of last year, if you're going to curtail innings potentially, which you might have to do with certain guys, they have a plethora of pitching and innings, and Libertor coming, and Thompson coming. I like their pitching. You know, I just think, you know, Ben, I just think that they're in a better position than most, and it may be out of attrition that they win, but I think they're in a better position than most in this division.
Well, I think even if you're a Cardinals fan who's frustrated by the lack of moves made this offseason, you have to be looking around the division thinking the Cardinals, if they do nothing, can still win the division, and they very well could. The fact that the pitching that you mentioned, I mean, Kim, throw him in there, all of these young guys, Ponce, Gomber, there's so much. There's so many arms. You just throw arms at it and figure out who sticks. And if someone breaks down, you give another guy a chance. The rough side is that they're a defense first team, that unless Wong is back, their defense has gotten worse. I mean, you can't take a 2-time Gold Glove winner away from second base and tell me the defense have gotten better, because it hasn't. And then their offense, it can't score a National League average amount of runs. Is that enough to win this downtrodden Central? For sure. Is it going to get you anywhere past that? I don't think so. Not after what we saw the past couple postseasons. Certainly not after what we saw, in San Diego last season. So I think that's the thing. There's with the expanded postseason, there is a bigger difference between getting in the postseason and being a team that has a chance to win it all. The Cardinals have been the team in the past that have found ways to get in and made deep runs, right? But that's probably not as accurate now as it has been in the past, because teams that are going to get in with 500 or a little bit below records. The frustrating dichotomy of it is the Cardinals go to San Diego, they lose to the Padres, and they're sitting there wondering how they're going to try to find ways to improve, if they can afford to find ways to improve. And the team that beat them in the wild card series and then got smoked out by the Dodgers has gone bonkers trying to get better. And the Cardinals are, after losing to the Padres, are thinking, hey, if we kind of hang tight, we can mend the division. I don't think the Cardinals are going to do nothing. I think they want to get Waino and Molina back. I think they're under the impression that there's not a circus of competition waiting for those guys. So, you know, the Cardinals, they don't do things before they have to do hardly ever. This idea that the Cardinals are going to race out to do something, these guys rarely will name a rotation entering spring training because they know it's going to change by the time it's over, and it usually does. So I don't know that they feel like the clock is ticking. You know, right now we still don't have definitive plans for what 2021 looks like. But I think before that happens, they'll find a way to get those guys back. I'm going to believe that until I see differently. And I do think they will do something to try to boost the lineup. And then when you compare what they do to what the rest of the division hasn't done, I think it will look like the Cardinals are trying to get better. Are they going to pull a Lindor deal? No. They've been pretty clear that they're viewing 2022 as a way to kind of refresh things. But that doesn't mean they can get away with doing nothing. If they want fans back in some capacity in 2021, they got to give people a reason to want to show up, and doing nothing, and certainly doing nothing on top of letting Yachty and Waino go, that's going to be a tough ask.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit. This time next week, we're talking the beginning of the Blues season. We are under a week away. They're going to open up in Denver against the Avalanche, and that'll be on Wednesday night. So looking forward to that. the 56-game regular season will get underway for the St. Louis Blues. Your expectations, general sense for the Blues, what do you think?
Well, I think they got to be considered one of the top teams in this funky West. I think it's the Honda Division. I'm not calling it that. I'm calling it the West Division. And it's I think they're right there. Now, I know Vegas is in the sports books like Vegas and Colorado more, but with what the Blues have done, their pivot to pick up Torrey Krug after it didn't work out with Petrangelo, the late addition of Mike Hoffman, who is, look, this guy is going to be paired, it looks like, on a line with Robert Thomas, which you can just hear the goal horn going off when those guys play together. You got one of the game's best young passers and a guy who is one of the more proven scorers around and available this offseason. They've got a ton of depth. They've got a lot of competition, which should bring out the best in guys. I love what we're hearing from Jordan Binnington. He's back to being himself. I don't think he's worried about what did or didn't happen in the bubble. And I think the best thing that I've heard from training camp so far is these guys are not, Dan, shrugging off what didn't go right in Edmonton. They're pissed, and they should be, because they had a championship caliber team and they got paused by COVID. Some of them got it. You know, it was weird. They went up to Edmonton. They were in that strange situation where they kind of had these throwaway games that affected seating, but not really anything else, especially when you're playing on neutral ice with no fans. And I think they were kind of groggy-eyed, and I think they kind of forgot that you only get so many shots to win a championship. And listening to Braden Schenn talk this week, I thought he said it best when he said, we really feel like we only get so many cracks at this thing and we wasted one. And I love hearing that, because I think that was what they would not say in the moment. But with some time to kind of let it settle and to think about it, I think they realized that they blew it up there and that they didn't play their version of hockey. Not that they're always going to win it, but they didn't play Blues hockey in the bubble. And I think they're motivated by that. I think that's a really good thing to hear. I know it's stewed. Army's been stewing over it since they left. And you can see that they're still going to go for it with the moves they made. They could have easily laid up, not brought Hoffman in, banked the money from Steen retiring. They didn't. They're trying to put the best team they can out there. And I think the players, when they get news like that, hey, Army pulled a deal for Hoffman and this creative deal that got him in with the salary cap space, I think those guys feel that ripple effect of energy. And they're going to, you know, they're feeling what the Cardinals are not feeling right now, is that, hey, we're in it this season, no matter how goofy this season gets. And there's that energy from the team. There's that energy in the fan base. And I think that they're going to carry that into the West. They had that first practice of training camp, and it looked like a team that had been practicing for a while. I mean, they're fired up, and it shows. So I'm optimistic they're going to be able to kind of play with the urgency they lacked up there in Edmonton.
I give them a ton of credit for spending to the cap. I don't know how they're doing it with no fans in the stands, but they're spending to the cap. Explain that to me. I don't know how they're doing it. You know, you're spending to the cap. That is millions of dollars with no fans in the stands. That is not easy to do where the margins are tight, but yet, Ben, they're doing it. They're spending to the cap, and I give them a ton of credit for doing it.
They're investing, and I think it's a combination of things. I think they're banking on the reward from the fans who will appreciate this. And if we know one thing about St. Louis sports fans, they keep track of these things, and they will appreciate it. That you can tell, you know, I think there will be that energy is still there, that boom from the championship and that energy to support a team that's going for it. That's real, especially here. The other thing, too, and I'm going to write about this for our Blues special section preview, so I won't give it all away here, but maybe a teaser. I think there's a real good vibe right now, and there should be because of the championship, but also it's been a decade now for Army in the GM role, and his relationship with Tom Stillman and the ownership group is really good. They've figured each other out, and I think Army, the ownership group, understands that he's going to always keep the long game in mind, that he's not going to do deals in the moment that try to make him look good right now. He's going to always think about the long term. And when you have a GM who's has the ownership group's trust that he's doing that, then I think the ownership group gets more willing to push him and to say, hey, we get it. You're going to look out for us long term, but here's some more to go get after it. And it's kind of a two-way street. It's almost like you've got the GM thinking, hey, I don't want to get us over our skis, and the ownership group saying, oh, we get that and we appreciate it, but go a little faster And I think that's it's a two-way thing. And I think they're really in a good spot with it right now. And they're also banking on fans to show they appreciate it. And I think Blues fans have and will continue to. People are jacked up about the Blues hockey right now, and it's clear. And some of it is kind of, you know, I think almost a backhanded compliment at times, because people are frustrated maybe by what the Cardinals aren't doing. And I don't really think that there's much to this idea that people are turning away from the Cardinals to go to the Blues at all. But I do think that people are jazzed about a team that is, you know, not saying the pandemic is going to keep them from spending to the cap. Baseball is different. There is no cap. I mean, look at where the Cardinals have ranked in payroll, and they're not slouching. Their biggest problem has been money not wisely spent, more than it has been not spending money. This season could be a little different, but I still want to say, let's see where this payroll winds up before this baseball season starts. The Mets are the talk of the town today, but again, they're not scoring any runs right now with Mookie Betts until the season starts, and we don't know still right now when that's going to be. And I think that, as much as anything, is what's kind of holding the Cardinals up. They don't know when the season's going to start, what it's going to look like yet. I can't believe it, but they don't.
Ryan Walters to Illinois from Mizzou. Did this one catch you off guard?
It surprised me a little bit, and we still haven't heard the full explanation of this, other than a few like cheery quotes released on both sides. But I mean, let's just tell it like it is. This is a backwards move for Ryan Walters, and I don't mean that to insult Illinois fans or their program at all. But they're rebuilding. They just hired Brett Bielema. I think he's a really good hire. I like Bielema. I think he's going to do well at Illinois. But compared to a team in the Big Ten that's in the depths of the Big Ten, that's restarting once again with a team that finished third in the SEC East and had a coach that has security there in Eli Drinkwitz, it's a curious move. And it made me wonder, Dan, if Eli had told Ryan, hey, start looking. You might want to see what else is out there. Because Ryan Walters, not that long ago, was interviewing for the Colorado head coaching job. You know, he played at Colorado. He was a great player there. So that's the kind of job that I thought Ryan Walters would eventually leave for, a head coaching opportunity somewhere, not to be the same job at a school that's had less success recently than the one he's at. So the defense, Missouri's defense, had some great moments this year. I thought, you know, there was really a good kind of chemistry brewing between Drinkwitz and Walters. Especially when Missouri beat LSU, that goal line stand after the defense had not played all that well was a huge moment for the biggest win of the season at that point. They had a great game against Kentucky. There were other good moments. And then by the time it was over, the defense was on its heels. It was somewhat limited by injuries and opt-outs and COVID issues. So it's always kind of hard to know what exactly to blame. But some of the quotes Drinkwitz had late in the year kind of made it sound like he wasn't all that thrilled with the defense. And I wonder if Walter felt like his seat was getting hot after a decent start, or if he felt like, you know, or if there was a nudge like, hey, you might want to take another opportunity if it comes around. Will we get the full story? I don't know. But it didn't seem like a move that it was in the logical progression for Walters if everything was copacetic in Columbia.
Mookie Cooper, 4-star recruit, Ohio State, decides to go now to Mizzou, transfer to Mizzou. It's a big pickup for Eli. What do you think of this?
Pretty big deal. He didn't play. He didn't catch a pass at Ohio State this year. But look at that depth chart. And you don't worry about that too much. This kid was a top 20 receiver in the 2020 class coming out of Trinity in St. Louis. He didn't sniff Mizzou at all when he went to Ohio State. He should have 4 years of eligibility left with 5 years to play it. And I think if the NCAA does the transfer changes, like I think they will, he should be able to play right away next year, which that would give Mizzou its first, the first time with 2 4-star receivers on the field, 4-star or higher, since they had Marcus Lucas and Doriel Green Beckham almost a decade ago. Not that stars are everything, but this guy is a slot type receiver. Maybe could be used in the running game. And it's going to give Missouri's offense a little more dynamic playmaker as long as he's able to be the guy that we thought he was going to be coming out of high school. I don't knock him too much for not becoming a force at Ohio State as a freshman. I think he could become one at Mizzou.
In terms of Missouri hoops, I can't figure out what happened at Mississippi State. The first half, I'm thinking, okay, this is that top 20 team. And the second half, I'm thinking they're not top 150. What happened?
I don't know, man. It looked like somebody took their battery out at halftime.
Holy smokes.
You know, they have a bad habit of when they go through one of those scoring droughts, they kind of just freeze. And then all of a sudden it's like they play a little bit panicky. And they can overcome it if they don't make sacrifices on their defensive side. But that's what jarred me, is how poorly they played defense in that second half. And, you know, to the credit of Mississippi State, they were making a lot of shots, but the Tigers weren't able to do anything to kind of snap them out of that. And then their offense just got so cold. It looked like two different teams. I mean, that first half, you got guys making extra passes. You got feeding Tillman down low, who's playing really well. They went away from that in the second. They started settling for bad shots. They started turning the ball over more often. And you just saw Mississippi State get more and more confident as the game went along. So really what Missouri has to figure out, I think, is that they're the kind of team that they have to do every little thing right in order to play. And if they can do that, they can play with anybody. They can beat Illinois. They can beat Oregon on a neutral court. They can be one of the top teams in the SEC. But if they get away from that identity of playing really good defense, of moving the ball, staying active on offense, then they can lose to anybody. They're just not a good enough team to have, you know, games against quality competition, which they don't play well and win. And they can get as cold as any team in the country. And we saw it happen to them at Mississippi State. They're figuring out, Dan, how to play consistently every night. And they're also figuring out that number next to their name, and it's going to, you know, continue to decrease if they keep having games like this, it's not going to get them any wins if they don't play well. So I think they showed in their bounce back win at Arkansas after a loss to Tennessee that they can figure it out. But if they ever think a game is over at halftime, then they have a chance to be proven wrong. And the biggest problem for them is that they don't have a single guy they can give the ball to and say, hey, we're on a 13-0 scoring drought. Go get us a bucket.
Yep.
You know, they don't have that guy. So they can survive that, but it means they have to play offense as a team, because if they do that stand around, watch one guy try to make things happen thing, that's how they get beat.
You're the best, my man. We'll catch up next Friday. A quick pick between Ohio State, Alabama. Who you got, by the way?
I'm taking Alabama, but I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I think Ohio State will cover. I'm really impressed with the Buckeyes ever since they beat Northwestern. I think Northwestern had the best defense in the country this season. So I'm gonna take the Buckeyes to cover, but I do think Alabama wins it.
I will take Alabama, and I'll also take your bet.
All right. What are we betting?
You know, friendly wager, of course.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, whole sports betting thing is not legal yet.
That's correct. You know, milkshake, you know, hamburger somewhere, you know, whatever. That's fine.
All right. Sounds good.
Alabama will cover. Yes, they will.
We'll see.
They'll cover, buddy. You can bank on that, and I'll collect next Friday.
That's a scoops guarantee.
It's a scoops guarantee, buddy. Take it to the bank. I'll talk to you next Friday, my man. Thanks for doing
it. Sounds good, man. Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year.